Hello, Mixed Nutcases. It's Nuke Joss. And yes, I have a bit of a code in my nodes, but I also have a special guest, Claire.
Hey!
And Claire is from the Intro to X podcast, the Defenders podcast, formerly the Twin Peaks podcast. Did I miss anything?
Carnicast.
There you go.
Ventuona's happy hour.
Why don't you tell our listeners real quick about the Defenders podcast? Because this is a new podcast for a project that is starting next week.
Yes, the Defenders podcast is with the DVM Podcast Empire. We've done three episodes, we did our third today, and we're covering the Marvel shows that will be airing on Netflix over the next few years. The first one of which is Daredevil, which is hitting Netflix next Friday. I'm jumping up and down every day. I'm counting down the seconds. I'm so excited. I'm a big, big Marvel fan and Daredevil fan in particular. And all the reviews as well have been amazing for the show. A lot of people have said it's the best original series Netflix has ever done, which is very high praise. Considering what Netflix does. So we're covering each of the shows. At the moment, we've just covered some Daredevil-related stuff like the movies, and we'll start covering Daredevil next week. However, it is an intro cast, so I will be watching all 13 hours of Daredevil on Friday, which will be hard work, not really. And my co-host will be watching an episode a week, and we'll be discussing it. And we have a good mix of experts like myself and my co-host Mel, who's a complete newbie and knows nothing about Marvel. So it'll be fun. And you are going to guest on it.
I am going to guest. Looking forward to this. This is going to be so much fun. Now, Daredevil, is that your favorite storyline?
Definitely. One of my favorite fictional characters. Definitely my favorite superhero. I have a Daredevil tattoo. I have issue number one on my wall. And I love the fact that we're getting 13 hours because the character has always been a bit of a C-lister character, seen as kind of like a lesser version of Batman or Spider-Man, but he's such an interesting character. Like, he's great. And I just love that we're going to get 13 hours of this character. That's more than we've had of like Tony Stark in the Marvel universe. That's insane.
Absolutely. And I'm so excited. He has a lot of depth, and I'm really excited to see that get explored. I saw a bunch of hoodies, Marvel inspired hoodies. There was a Spider-Man one, a Deadpool one, and a Daredevil one. And I was just thinking Claire would look so cute in the Daredevil one.
I need to get it.
It was a red hoodie and it had the little red horns. And it basically, the way that they were designed to go into the characters' costumes, that they could just be part of the superhero costumes. And I was like, Claire needs that.
I really want one. I actually want to get like a red, like short leather jacket with a hood, and then I've got two little plastic horns and I want to put them in the hood.
Oh, you so totally I can wear need to do that.
As a little red leather jacket. Unfortunately, they don't make them big enough for my chest size yet. So I need to look out for another one.
Well, once you find one that, you know, works with the Fwakum, we can definitely get this going. So we're not here to talk about Daredevil, though. We are going to be watching one of Claire's favorite movies, a movie I have never seen, but I've heard about. I actually don't know what it's about. I just know it's one of those movies you need to watch.
Yes.
Harold and Maude.
Oh, my favorite film of all time.
So what we're going to do is you're going to be getting a commentary. And so you're going to listen to us watch the movie. And if this has the movie playing in the background and you don't want the movie playing in the background, go to nimlast.org. There will be another file with the movie not playing in the background and you can just listen to us so you can sync it up while you watch. If you've already seen the movie and you'd like the movie playing in the background and you don't hear it, same thing. Go to nimlast.org and get the file that has the movie playing in the background. I'll make sure to mark which is which.
Sweet.
We have our AVI files all set up. This is from the original 1970s version, not the Blu-ray version. And we are on the Paramount screen, and we are going to go 3, 2, 1.
Paramount. I love that old logo. Door opens.
We giggle because we did this already.
Yes.
And I commented.
I'm very excited.
Yes, Claire is very excited. This is my first commentary ever. I've never done a commentary, so I hope I talk enough.
I've only done them on episodes of Baywatch Nights and X-Files.
Oh, Baywatch Nights. No. Just no. Harold and Maude.
I have a big Harold and Maude poster on my wall as well, next to me.
Dang, that's a ring.
Yeah, he likes his bling.
Yeah.
First of many, many Cat Stevens songs.
Oh, I love Cat Stevens. I grew up listening to Cat Stevens.
I think there's two original songs of his in this film. I think this is one of them, and then there's another one later that he wrote for the film.
Nice. There we go. Songs composed and performed by Cat Stevens.
Yeah.
Cat Stevens was one of the 3 8 tracks we had in the van growing up.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I love Cat Stevens.
It was Cat Stevens' Greatest Hits, Bing Crosby's White Christmas, and the Eagles' Greatest Hits.
Yeah, that's a good choice.
I'm sure there were more at some point.
I have all my mum and dad's old original Cat Stevens vinyl, which is great.
I have no idea what happened to our vinyl.
I don't have the soundtrack of this on vinyl, though, because it costs a fortune. It was released in very limited. It was only, I don't know, a few released. It's over £100 it goes for now.
When I think about the vinyl that my parents had and that it was probably just donated somewhere and what it would be worth now, I cry.
Yeah.
Including, like, some Beatles albums. Limited editions.
Yeah. Oh, they'd be worth a fortune.
Oh, I know.
And now, Harold's name tag he just wrote and put on his chest says, if I remember right, Harold Parker Chasen. But you don't find out his middle name anywhere else in the film. It's just there. But I have the script somewhere, so I know that.
I see. Oh, he's young. I hear names like Harold and Maude, and I think old people.
Yeah, Bud Cort was super young when he made this. This is what he's best known for still. And this was based on a book. I have the book version of it as well, which was by Colin Higgins, I think, and he wrote the script for this as well. Yeah, written by Colin Higgins. There you go. And the book's really cool because it has a few details that fill in background and stuff that isn't in the film.
Excellent.
But it's only a very tiny book.
And it's produced by Colin Higgins and that other guy. Oh. Oh.
Yes.
He put a name tag on to kill himself?
Yeah. And lit a candle and put on some Cat Stevens.
Wow. What? What? Who is this crazy lady? He's probably still alive. You could save him. Look, his head just moved.
That's his mum. I love Vivian Pickles in this film.
Ah. It's a fake news. I thought we were going to get a ghost story for a second.
Looks like he's been eating licorice.
It does.
Oh.
little more inventive, did she say?
Vivacious. Try and be a little more vivacious.
Vivacious. That's wonderful.
I love her. Frighteningly, she reminds me a lot of my mum. The most passive-aggressive eating of beets ever.
Oh my goodness. Dude, beets are good. Enjoy them. Don't just swallow them down like that. So how old is he?
I don't think they say in the film, but I think he's meant to be like 20, 22-ish.
Really? God, he looks 12.
Yeah.
Of course, that might just be a reflection of me.
We're just old.
Yeah, we're old, and everybody looks like babies. This is too much.
I love that Harold is wearing the exact same outfit as his psychiatrist.
He is. Except he's not wearing that god-awful coat. Ugh.
Mm.
It's the same kind of jacket that Uncle... Well, yeah. That Uncle Phil wears in The Fresh Prince, and it drives me nuts. I hate that kind of coat.
This film as well was a big influence on 6 Feet Under, the TV show.
Oh, yeah?
Which you can kind of tell, yeah. They reference it a few times in it.
Oh. I watched that when it
And it's one
on.
Of Wes Anderson's favourite films, mm-hmm. and you can definitely see it in his films, the way, like, shots are done and things like that.
Neat.
I just want to go through car washes drinking orange soda.
I don't think they let you in the car washes anymore, though.
It's the 70s. It's San Francisco. They don't care. Oh, and it's also obviously filmed in San Francisco, which is my favorite city in the world.
I have never been to San Francisco. Well, I've never been that far west. I've been to Europe. I just haven't been that far west in this continent. So he just goes to other people's funerals, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I was a waitress, I used to have two little old biddies that did that. It was like their activity. Yeah, they look like those ladies.
Maybe they inspired this movie.
Maybe. Wait, I'm not
Maybe
that
one,
old.
One of them is Maud.
Okay, what this movie is about is starting to come back to me from what I've heard of it. Okay. Because that's Maud, isn't it?
That's Maud, yeah.
Yeah. Excellent.
And like Claire in 6 Feet Under, Harold buys a hearse as his car.
Dude, I wanted a hearse.
Yeah, me too. I want the green hearse from 6 Feet Under.
I wanted a hearse because it'd have all the room for my art supplies. And,
yeah, definitely.
It looked cool. Yeah.
He has an even better car later on in the film.
I like his hearse better than Claire's, though. But Claire's was like the hand-me-down. It was the old.
Yeah, she just painted it green. But it's more.
Oh.
His uncle is terrifying.
First hand. And another bad toupee.
Yes. This is my favorite bit of this scene. More Nathan Hales.
So I was about to say, excuse me, sir, but your hair is way too long. And then he did that.
Yes. I love her swimming cap.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. I used to belong to a gym in Queens that, you know, everyone had to wear swimming caps, and some of the old ladies had the most beautiful swimming caps like that. That, and then my favorite were the ones that had the flowers all over it.
Yes. That one's like, it just makes me think of old Hollywood musical. Yep. You know what I mean? It's that kind of...
Yep.
I love she just rolls her eyes when she goes past.
Well, as long as he's not getting blood all over her vanity, she's
exactly.
Fine.
She doesn't really mind.
He's, again, wearing the same clothes.
Yep, always.
As a psychiatrist, that would freak me out.
Yeah.
Just like that.
Yep. I love how pale he is at the start of the film, and he kind of gets more color as it goes on.
I was looking at that. I'm like, there is no color on his face whatsoever.
It's like a ghost. I was very happy when this guy showed up in the X-Files.
Who is he in the X-Files?
He was just some old guy in an episode with lots of old people. I can't remember. I think it might have been Excelsis Day. Oh, I love Ruth Gordon so much. I want to be Ruth Gordon when I'm older. I want to be Maud.
She looks good for 80.
Yeah.
What does that say?
The perma seal on the coffin.
Yes.
This movie has a very dark sense of comedy, which I love. I love black comedies.
Yeah, me too.
It's just what you want when you're having a funeral, is a parade going past.
Yeah, what? You'd think they'd, you know, mark time to be quiet. There's a hearse right here.
Yeah. They're always sort of commenting on it, though, you know, like the juxtaposition of death and life in the movie.
Oh my goodness. Oh my lord. She's crazy.
And she stole the priest car. Oh, I love her hat.
Ouch. Screw you, Mom. Yes.
Poor Harold.
Well, good for you, Mom.
Yeah. It's all about Mum.
Of course. Mom is such a prude.
Yep. These are like the weirdest questions.
Yeah. That's you. I'm so glad I have a mixer. I keep lowering it to cough and blow my nose. Love this soundtrack.
Yeah, it's so good.
I love Cat Stevens. Oh, God.
I love Harold's wearing his mum's sunglasses.
The girl with the yarn in her hair.
Yes.
That was such a 70s thing.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I love that it's this kind of thing with Harold at this point. It's like Fight Club, you know, where yeah. he can't be turning up to these funerals without knowing anyone if she's doing it as well. Because it just exaggerates. It points out what a fake he is, you know, like with Edward Norton and Marla
right,
in Fight
you're right.
Club.
That's exactly Fight
That's
Club.
That's how I take it, yeah.
I wonder if... this was an influence.
I don't know, maybe.
So Maude is Helena Bonham Carter.
Yeah. This film also made me buy a yellow umbrella. I have a yellow umbrella.
Oh no. But yellow umbrella means you're Ted Mosby's wife.
Doesn't it?
That'd be horrible.
I don't watch that show. I don't want to marry Ted Mosby.
No. Who would want to marry somebody with the last name Mosby, really?
I would marry Jason Segel only because he brought back the Muppets.
Oh my God, I love Jason Segel. He's so funny.
Yeah.
Oh God, she's going to steal his car again.
They filmed it, but it's never been released as a deleted scene. She went in the church and painted all the statues of saints with smiley faces.
Oh my God. And to steal his car.
Yours.
Don't let her know where you live, Harold.
Love Maude's house.
Oh, her house is a train car. I love it. I love how she talks.
Oh, she's great.
It's very, I don't know, East Coast.
Yeah. I want one of these to use out on my window.
It's a skeet launcher. That's awesome.
I love it.
She's got a peacock chair.
Yeah.
How is there room in a train car for a piano?
I have no idea.
Oh, Lord.
It's like such a weird way to have that office set out, you know, with the two chairs.
Yeah.
But it's very Wes Anderson.
Well, and it's also like old psychiatry, you know, like in the '80s, they really started to soften it up.
Yeah.
They, got rid of the couches, you know?
Yeah.
But it really was more like an examination.
I love her belt with the bowl of ice cream on it.
Oh my God, that is an amazing belt.
Just imagine what kind of computer club this was in 1971.
Ugh. Like setting himself on fire.
I love this moment as well.
Nice breaking of the fourth wall there.
I know, I love it. I love Harold's coat there.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of big wintry pea coat type thing.
Again, it's very 70s.
With the shaggy fur on it.
This isn't made in the 70s, but if you watch the movie The Ice Storm, Elijah
Wood. Oh, yeah, like yeah. That. Yeah, all the fashion's like that, isn't it?
I'm sorry, was she posing nude for an ice sculpture?
Yeah, for his ice sculpture.
I love that.
Oh, it's so good. I love that he actually thinks about it.
He really does.
If you look at the piano, notice that all the photo frames on top of the piano are empty.
Oh,
I'll tell you why later.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that is her.
Who would want to smell a Mexican farmyard? This is great.
What was the last one?
Snow.
Oh.
Because it was snow on 42nd Street, so he smelt Subway's perfume, cigarettes and snow.
Huh. That's actually kind of wild.
Oh, I'd love to be able to do that.
Oh my god, she's totally Helena Bonham Carter.
She is. I think he does that as an attention thing, but she just doesn't care.
Yeah.
And so he's kind of thrown off a bit by her. Ha ha ha. Watches Demolitions. I think that would be cool to go and watch.
Yeah. Demolition's the best part of construction.
Yeah, I imagine. Agreed.
Okay. Yeah, this is the kind of cemetery that creeps me out. The military cemetery?
Where it's all identical, yeah.
Well, it's not just that they're all identical, but they're in ranks.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, they're all lined up in a row.
I've never been to one. Like, I never got a chance to go to Arlington Cemetery.
Right.
Which I kind of wanted to visit. But, I didn't know that.
Growing up, there's a bunch of cemeteries out at Pine Lawn, but one of them was a military cemetery. And every time I would drive past, I didn't want to look because it just, I don't know, it just was always creepy to me. I know some people like it. They're like, well, yeah, that's the point. I'm like, yeah, but it's just creepy.
I find something creepy about those ones. I like old, like, we have a lot of Victorian cemeteries, obviously, in London, which I love, like, particularly Highgate Cemetery. But, yeah, those ones I've always been a bit creeped out by.
Yeah. I love old cemeteries because of the history.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's,
Oh, I think that was Cat Stevens there, if I remember right.
Was that Cat Stevens?
I think so.
That's awesome.
Because you have the director in a cameo later as well.
Oh, what does he call himself now?
Yusuf Islam.
There you go. He turned his back on his own music, though. I just try to ignore that part.
Yeah.
What is she doing? She's not a roundabout.
She wants to go and see the tree.
The cops.
In the background. She's like, oh, please, whatever. Ha ha. love her.
Oh my God. And then you feel like a failure.
Yeah. Yep.
Wait, people were talking about organic in the 70s? I thought that was new. She doesn't have an accent.
No, her name's Dame Marjorie Chardin, which kind of sounds French. Well, if she's got the daisy in her hair that they picked earlier.
Yeah. I know this song.
This is Cat Stevens as well. This is one of
Yeah.
the ones he wrote for the film.
Okay. I've heard this.
Oh. I love that she was just faking playing the piano.
Yeah. Wait a
Anyway.
minute. That's awesome. She's so funny.
I know.
And then she pretends to finish.
I know. Let's see what I would do.
I can make music. I turn on my MP3 player. It makes music.
Yeah, me too. I can make strangled cat sounds that I call singing.
I can sing. Nobody said I could sing well.
This is now, I have two favorite fictional characters that play the banjo. One is Harold and one is Kermit the Frog.
I was just going to say, the other's got to be Kermit.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely.
My niece wants to learn the banjo.
I would love to learn the banjo. I have too many hobbies already, though.
She just goes from, like, you know, adding instrument and instrument. It's kind of crazy.
Oh, wow. That's awesome, though.
I know. It's funny because when she started, it was like she couldn't tell if her guitar was in tune or not.
I have a ukulele I can tune, but I can play like two things on it. I'm such a hipster.
She's got her guitar. She's got an electric, an acoustic, and a mandolin. Oh, nice. I like the mandolin.
Yeah, mandolin's really pretty.
My grandfather played the ukulele, so when hipsters are playing the ukulele, I always think of my grandfather. Oh, my.
Mm.
Whose is it?
It's his. She got rid of the hearse.
But... But I mean, it's,
oh, he's gonna change it, don't worry.
Okay. I'm like, because that, you know, wow,
it's not a Harold car.
No, although his coat does look like he's wearing a couch.
Yes,
and he's wearing quite a bit of pink. Not that there's anything wrong with pink.
Pink is, well, great.
There's a tree.
Aww.
Oh,
jeez. Now, that cop is another cameo. It's Tom Skerritt.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait. I love him. He's going to be so young.
He's great in this.
I can see his mustache already.
Yeah. Magnificent mustache.
That is quite a mustache. Oh my god!
And Harold's initial thing he did there when she was talking was get out his checkbook. Because he's like, well, I'm rich, I'll just pay him off. But yeah, I think this, which they never comment on, but you can kind of tell that's what he's doing, which I think is interesting.
Oh, jeez. What is she doing?
Tom Skerritt's just like, crap.
Good old El Camino. And he's like, you know what? I'm not even going to call this one in because...
Yeah.
Oh, the tree does not look good. Because I would be too embarrassed to tell people that an old lady did this to me.
I think the tree will be much happier there. It's a really pretty forest.
It is a pretty forest. If they translated it correctly.
Yeah.
I have a black thumb. Everything I've ever tried to transplant has died. Which is really sad because my family has a landscaping business. My grandmother had like a green arm.
I never get a chance to do any gardening, but my mom and dad are really, really good gardeners. Their garden's beautiful.
That's the same guy.
Yep.
He's like, all right, here's your ticket. I gotta go.
I've got to put my gloves on before I get on my bike.
Oh my God, this is crazy.
Love it. I thought he just looks at her like, I don't get it.
He's reaching for his checkbook again, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
She's good.
And he hits himself in the head, look, now, with a shovel. Right there.
Oh, ow!
That was real. That was Bud Cort hitting himself in the head with a shovel.
Really?
He's just like, oh, man. I just imagine him going home and his wife being like, how was your day, dear? Oh, I suck.
I need to pack it in. Apparently, I'm not supposed to be a police officer because this old lady did this to me.
He's so good in this scene.
He's been chasing that high ever since.
Mm-hmm. It's the only time he ever got any attention from his mom.
She's so Dr. Phil-ish, you know?
Yeah.
These little slogans.
So you enjoying the film so far?
Yeah, this is kooky. I'm afraid I'm a bit quiet, but I don't know what to say. Because there's so much wackiness going on, you know?
I know. This is the best car I've ever seen.
Oh my god, I can't wait to see what he did.
It's a little Jaghurst. It's so cute.
What kind of a lady is going to be okay with a mom finding dates for her son over a computer network? Like,
I have no idea. See, I would love that if I went on a date. I'd be like, this guy is right up my alley.
See, but I wouldn't have gone back in the house. I would have been like, can I see your hearse, Jag?
Yeah, exactly. So cool. I love that. Someone says to me they're going to put me in jail. Well, historically, you'll be in very good company. His uncle is so hilarious.
Only one arm.
Yeah. This This is all Golden Gate Bridge Park.
Mm. And the chauffeur is just like wishing he could mow them down.
Yeah.
The hell? What was,
these it's just a guy on crutches falling over. These ruins are in San Francisco, and I've been to these ruins, and as a Harold and Maude nerd, and stood on these ruins at the exact spot that they stand, and yeah, it was amazing. I think this is the best way to dodge the draft ever that Harold does.
The hell?
She's petitioning for peace where there's no one around. I love he just carries a shrunken head around.
She's got her umbrella.
Yeah. You can't run down these steps anymore because they're too dangerous. These are cornered off.
Oh, wow.
But in the 70s, obviously, they didn't care.
Well, no. And if it were in Europe, they wouldn't care either.
Yeah.
When we were in Italy, there were so many things where my husband and I were like, if we were in the States, we wouldn't be allowed to do this.
Yeah, exactly.
They'd be too scared of lawsuits.
I love that his arm is up. Or his sleeve. Best way to dodge the draft ever.
Yeah. Pretend to be actually enjoying
a
killing.
Psychopath.
Yeah. Because even with the draft, they still make you pass a psychological.
Yeah. I agree with that as well.
Yeah, pretty much. Sing out. I love this song.
Be free. There was a film called Charlie Bartlett. I don't know if you've ever seen that film.
I've heard of it, but I haven't
seen it. Robert Downey Jr. and Anton Yelchin. And that's obviously very inspired by Harold and Maude because he's quite a Harold character in it, Anton Yelchin. And then at the end, they sing this song at a performance of something. So the director must be a fan of Harold and Maude.
Must be. Do you want? I'm dancing right now.
I'm singing along.
In my chair, drawing. I'm dancing.
There's a very important blink and you'll miss it moment in the scene.
Okay. Oh.
They never comment on that again. It's just that one moment, which I love.
That's awesome that they don't make it a big thing.
Yeah, I love that.
That explains a lot, too.
It explains so much. Yeah. And they don't feel the need to, literally if you blinked, you'd miss it. Yep. I love that.
Friend of mine, well, my sister's friend, but I've known her my whole life, didn't know her mother was a survivor until her mother was in her 80s as well.
Oh, wow.
And was sick, and she saw the tattoo, and she was like, Mom. And she's like, no, don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone ever. Because her mom was terrified that somebody would find out she was Jewish and would take her kids, that it would happen again. She was convinced it would happen again.
You just must live in fear the rest of your life.
Yeah.
With that.
Her father never knew.
Wow.
Oh my, she looks like the cover of a Butterick catalog.
Her name's Sunshine Doré.
Ah, oh, Sunshine. I knew a girl named Sunshine.
She's in Carnival, this woman.
Who is she in Carnival? Oh, she's
the old blind woman.
Yeah.
The really terrifying old blind woman. She calls her Starshine or Starlight. Whoa, Sunshine. I love this moment when she walks down the hall and it was completely by accident, but it's great. That bit.
I love how many things they just kept.
I know, there's so many little things.
Did they just shoot this Ed Wood style, you know? Only one take?
Probably. It's great.
Oh, look at the walls.
I know.
The Cezanne
stuff. Houses. Oh, I'd love to go to this house. And have that weird, like, leather neck brace she's got on. He's got a lot more colour in his face now as well.
Yeah. Really? With a name like Sunshine in the 70s?
Yeah, exactly. She's, yeah. Do you enjoy knives? Oh, yes. Her boots look almost exactly like the ones I got today for a costume.
Are you going to dress up like Sunshine?
Oh, maybe after I've done the costume I was going to do, I might dress as her for a party.
You got to get yourself some Butterick patterns to get those definitely. Pants and the bonnet. And then go to the SEA for the neck piece. When she asks him, what's Harry Carey, he looks so offended.
No. Love it. He's like, oh, tie.
Nice.
Mustn't get blood on the tie. Love Harold's like, what the hell?
I like how she tested it.
Yeah. Love this moment.
He's like, she's crazier than me.
Oh, I love it.
Oh my God, this is so good.
Oh, I think you see Hal Ashby in a minute. Yeah, you do.
Who do we see?
With a very big beard, the director.
Ah.
And I think this is Santa Cruz, if I remember. And there's a machine in a minute that's on, you see Harold at, and he makes something. And my friend actually went to that exact machine that's still there and made me what Harold makes. So I have an exact replica from that machine that you see in a minute. Yeah,
is
it's
it
like the nerdiest
machine?
Thing. Yeah, it's like one of the little pressed coin machines. Yeah. There's Hal Ashby.
Oh my God.
That's the press coin machine. So I have a coin that he makes from that machine. I have one.
So, because Canada doesn't have a penny anymore, for those machines, what they do is you put in the money, and it gives you just a blank copper disc.
Yeah, this one's, it's not a penny, it's like a big silver disc.
Yeah. They're my species.
I love that.
I'm not sure they're my species.
I think some of them are my species.
Yeah.
Not all of them.
Aww.
I know. I love that.
Oh, good thing it wasn't a diamond.
Yes. Wonder what the fireworks were symbolic of.
I wonder. Suddenly he's tan. So that's what it's all about.
And in one of the trailers for the movie, but it's not in the movie, that shows them have like kissing. But they didn't put it in the movie for some reason. But whenever I tell people the film is like a love story between like a 20-year-old and 80-year-old, people get grossed out, but it's honestly my favorite love story ever.
Yeah.
Love it.
Well, the fact that he's definitely 20 makes it much better. But yeah. And I much prefer the idea of bubbles instead of smoking after sex.
Yes, exactly.
I'm going to have to get some bubbles to put near my bed now.
He looks really cute there.
Yeah, he does.
I love she's dressed like some kind of Grecian priestess or something.
You told him you had to get married. Wait till you find out she's Jewish, Mom. Scandal.
Scandal.
Because you know that's a WASP household.
Oh, definitely. Well, even one of the songs in the musical is called WASP. Ah. I love you can always hear like the drill, drilling in the background.
I love the positions of their idols.
I know.
So, like, you got Nixon over Uncle Victor, and then over the shrink, you've got Sigmund Freud.
Yep. And then over the priest, you have the Pope.
Oh, God, this is great.
I love this.
Oh, God, this is creepy.
I love it.
Just shut up.
Mingling.
Oh, he's Stop fantasizing about this little boy. He's like, you should be commingling with mine.
Yes. Flabby buttocks. I love he's filled the room with daisies.
Yeah.
So even in the photo frames.
Aww. Now, has he asked her yet?
Not yet.
Okay. And she still has no idea he's loaded.
Mm-hmm. I don't think she'd care.
No, I don't think she would.
I think she's probably loaded as well. Just doesn't, you know, going back in her family. She's definitely from nobility.
I thought that was all made up.
It's the little daisy. No. Well, they never say about it, but there's definitely...
Something.
Something, yeah. This is why this is my favorite film. It makes me laugh and it makes me cry.
But yeah, I'm feeling exactly like he looks right now.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you for screaming that.
This is when I'm going to start crying.
Because she gets him to embrace life.
Mm-hmm.
And then she takes her own life. And look, it's Kitty from That 70s Show working as a nurse. No. But that's what she looks like. She's got the hairstyle.
I love that she's holding the daisy as well. And she goes, oh.
Ugh.
And I love that this whole scene's just the song.
Yeah.
There's a version of this song by Elliot Smith, and it's just amazing.
Why are they standing there? Can they just pump her stomach already? I know it's been an hour, so it's probably too late anyway. And I know what's happening. But I don't want it to happen.
I love that we don't even have to hear it. You just see his shoulders fall and it's...
Well, we knew it was coming.
Exactly, yeah. It's...
Oh, boy.
And where it pauses there, that's where the camera went wrong.
Oh, yeah?
And paused, but they obviously couldn't do it again because they destroyed the car, so they just left it in the film.
Huh.
But it actually kind of fits.
Be free, a million things to be. Well, I'm glad he didn't kill himself because then it would have ruined the lesson.
And it's his last suicide. And got rid of the car.
Got rid of the morbid fascination.
Even though that car was awesome.
That was an awesome car. Yeah. I know she's no one, but the woman that plays his mother has a great name.
Vivian Pickles.
I think that's fantastic.
Yeah. It's so good. I love it.
It's very good.
I would love for them to bring the musical to London just to see how they do it on stage. The songs are okay in it. They don't use any of the songs, though, I don't think, from the film. So any of the Cat Stevens songs. So it's all original.
When was the play done?
I don't know. I'm really not sure. You can't even buy the soundtrack. I just happened to have someone who sent it to me. So I've never seen it on sale anywhere. I don't think there's any clips of it online. I've seen some pictures, but...
Right.
I don't know, yeah.
I was curious if it had to do with them not using it because...
Because maybe it's probably because of...
Whatever his name is now.
But then they've released the soundtrack, only a couple of years ago.
The soundtrack is probably owned by Paramount.
True, yeah. And it's now part of the Criterion Collection, the film, because I have the Criterion Collection Blu-ray.
Ooh.
I have actually three different versions of the DVD as well.
Because you are a super fan.
Because then if I lend it to someone and I really want to watch it, then I can still watch it.
Yeah, I have that with Firefly.
I have it with Hedwig and the Angry Inch as well, which is another one of my favorite films.
I ended up getting a second set of Firefly DVDs because
excellent
people were not returning them. And yes. And a friend of mine, I was like, I'm not loaning Firefly out anymore. And then a friend sends me Firefly. I'm like, okay, I guess now I have a loaner copy.
Yes. It's always worth buying a spare of your favorite things if you're going to lend them out.
Absolutely. So that was a good film. I enjoyed that.
I enjoyed it.
Definitely weird. You can definitely see that it's played an influence in other things.
Yeah. Particularly Wes Anderson, when we were commenting on the psychiatrist chairs, the fact that the whole thing's symmetrical is very Wes Anderson, the way the shot is, he sets up his shots and stuff.
Yeah.
And it kind of reminds me of even the character of Harold you know, whenever I see Rushmore, I'm reminded of Harold and Maude, like the character.
Okay,
in that,
yeah, I could see that.
Jason Schwartzman's character. Yep. Yeah.
And as I was saying in the Ice Storm, like Elijah Wood's character even kind of looks like him.
Yeah,
including just, you know, having some of the same clothes, but it's just like, ooh, that's weird. So I can definitely see that. And as we said, you know, Maude is definitely like a Helena Bonham Carter.
Yeah.
In Fight
Club. Yeah, I love her. I just want to be Maud when I'm 80.
Yes,
you know?
Please don't kill yourself.
No. But one of the things, like I mentioned to you, you know, about the photo frames, and said, oh, the photo frames are all blank. Because there are bits and pieces that they sort of bring up in the script and in the book that aren't in the film. And one of the lines that she has, she says that she took the photos out of the frames. Actually, I have the quote somewhere. I don't know if I can find it. She said she took the photos out of the frames for a reason, because
is it like because of Shiva?
No, let me find it. I have it in here. She says they mocked me. They were representations of people I dearly loved. Yet they knew these people were. Oh, I can't read it. I knew these people were gradually fading from me, and that in time, all I would have left would be vague feelings, but sharp photographs. And there's a kind of another line as well, which, and it kind of, people have read it, that it sort of hints that she has Alzheimer's, which I don't know if she does, but I kind of can't help watching it with that in mind.
Yeah, I could see.
And
that.
It adds another layer to it. And also, my grandfather died of Alzheimer's, so it kind of obviously is quite you know, raw thinking about that in the film. But I can see it as well, and it adds another layer to it. And the fact that she, you know, at the start she says, you know, 75 is too early, but you're kind of just biding time by the time you're 85, so 80 seems like a good time to go. So she's had it planned for a long time.
Yeah, she definitely hints at it, as you said. And one of the things I was thinking is, well, I mean, if she was in a concentration camp, the assumption is that she was Jewish. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Jews generally, they cover up picture frames.
Okay, yeah.
When you're sitting Shiva, you cover up picture frames and mirrors and things like that. And so I thought maybe that was another foreshadowing technique. But it was funny because I'm like, I'm thinking, all right, all of these stories about immigrating and everything, that's not real, because she doesn't even have an accent. And then when you see the tattoo on her arm, it's like, oh, no, that's real. That actually,
I think,
happened.
In the book they say that she has an accent, but like a soft accent. Like, and right. I think he says something like, I haven't read the book in ages. He comments that it sounds vaguely European, like Eastern European.
Okay.
But they never. One of the things I love is they never really say a lot of detail about her backstory. They just say, you know, she was invited to the palace in Vienna for a garden party. So she's obviously from quite a well-to-do family.
Yeah.
She's a dame. You know, she was part of some revolution. When she introduces herself to Harold, she says her name's Dame Marjorie Chardin, but you can call me Maud.
You're right, she did say that. Okay.
Yeah. But I love, like I said, the fact, like when she shows the tattoo, I love that they don't really dwell on it. And I think, you know, obviously there's quite a lot of times where they mention, like, you know, the moral of the story. It's about, you know, live life, and she celebrates life, and he's kind of in love with death. And they talk about that, but a lot of the other stuff, they really don't hammer home. It's very subtle, and I love that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's kind of neat, because it starts out where, you know, it's not very romantic. It's mm-hmm. It's definitely like a platonic relationship. And then at some point, you're like, well, yeah. Yeah, it's going there. And it's there's nothing tropish about it.
No, exactly. And it doesn't feel shocking at all. Like, I just feel like, yeah, they're just two people and they fall in love, and, you know, and it's, I love it. And as I said, it's a film that can make me laugh and cry. And that's usually the films that I love the most, because it can make me feel so many different things, you know?
Absolutely.
And it's my number one love story. And I think my number two would be Secretary. So both of my two top love stories are unconventional, but I think they're, oh, I love Secretary as
Secretary's
well.
Secretary's a lot of fun. I really enjoy Secretary.
I love it.
When I hear people talking about 50 Shades, and I'm like, just go watch Secretary.
Yeah, exactly. You know? That's what I said to my mom. I was like, look, I'll lend you Secretary. You can watch that. It's so much better.
Better writing, better acting, you know.
Yeah. And they had a scene as well, which I think they filmed, because they filmed the scene of her painting the saints, because there is a photo somewhere of her, of Ruth Gordon standing next to this picture of a saint, and she's drawn a smiley face on it. But they did another scene as well where Harold pretended to behead himself or something, and like his mum walked into the room and there was Harold's head sitting on a platter, and they did film it, but there's only ever been photos of it produced, like it's not a deleted scene or anything.
Right.
But that was another one. And they talk in the book a bit about how like Harold made this breathing equipment so that he could breathe underwater when he's floating in the pool, and that's what Maud uses when she falls through the sewer thing into the sea.
Okay.
Yeah,
I didn't think too much about that because I'm like, he's got enough time practice faking his own death.
Exactly.
You know, I'm not too concerned about that.
Yeah. Yeah. I just, I love it. And the mom is hilarious.
Oh my God, she's so funny. But you kind of get like, the first scene you're like, really? And then after a while you're like, all right, 15 deaths. I understand why she's like this.
Yeah. Yeah. But also there's obviously, you know, like you don't know about the Harold's relationship with his dad, but the fact that the dad was there in Paris and one minute he was there and then the next minute he was floating nude down the Seine, you know, you're like, okay, so the dad's out of the picture. There's obviously something that's gone on and maybe that's obviously affected Harold as well.
Well, and,
but I love that they don't, you know.
Yeah, they don't even address it.
Yeah, exactly. I love
it. And the fact that, you know, he went to boarding schools. I mean, it's obvious that he didn't really have a connection with his family. I also kind of get like this Arthur kind of a sense, you know.
Yes.
Well, we let you be a kid all this time and now it's time that you grow up.
Yeah.
Which is just so weird to me. Like, we're not going to be involved in your life at all. But now that you're what we consider to be an adult, it's time that you get in line. Well,
yeah, exactly.
Maybe you should have had, I don't know, something to do with the person up until now.
Yep, exactly.
But yeah. So oh, it's
so great.
It's kind of actually, I think the thing that Harold was missing was like a good Biederman. he was missing the person who's supposed to be the surrogate parent for him.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, also, I mean, if Maud had stayed alive at the end, they probably would have been happy. But you know, she wants him to go out and explore the world because he's just starting his journey of exploring the world. She's explored the world, you know.
And the idea, like, if she actually did have Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
And this was her way of deciding, I'm going to go when I'm feeling right. I don't want to have him watch me deteriorate to the point that I forget who he is.
Yeah.
It makes a lot more sense that way. If that is the case. I don't know.
I like that it can be read as that. You know, it doesn't, it's not like, like there's no definitive answer to a lot of the questions that it brings up in the film, but you know, that's kind of how I watch it, just because I have that kind of history in my family, you know, so that's the way I connect with it. And yeah, it's, but just like so many little things like that they put in, I love.
Yeah. But it's like, I don't know, for me, and I know in the 70s, 80 was pretty old, but like to me, 80's still pretty young.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because most people in my family die at 100. Or around.
Wow. 100,
so. Yeah, my grandmother just passed. She was 103, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, she was going to be 104.
My one surviving nan is 94 at the moment.
Good for her.
Yeah.
And like my grandfather was 88, I think, when he passed, but he had smoked since he was 13, so.
Wow. That's still a good age, though.
I know, yeah. And that was in the 80s when he passed. So, I mean, like, it's definitely longevity's there. So I don't really think about it much. And, like, my aunt is, my oldest aunt is in her 70s. I think she's 77 this year. And you'd never guess it because she's so active. She goes skiing all winter.
Wow.
She, they just stopped sailing, but only because their boat got wrecked in Sandy.
Oh, okay.
They weren't on it. It just got wrecked because of Hurricane Sandy. And But she does belly dancing and wow. Tai Chi and Zumba and all this like active stuff. And she's actually a little modish, you know, she's awesome. Definitely the crazy aunt. I remember my nieces said to me at one point, they're like, you know, you're gonna end up being the crazy aunt like Omi. And I'm like, really? Awesome. I can't wait.
That's what I want to be. That's yeah. why I'm like saying to my sister, you know, hurry up and have kids. I want to be the crazy aunt.
I am the only one in my family without children. So
I mean, I made the decision when I was about 20 that I wasn't going to have children for various reasons. I think my mom still thinks that I might, but I'm like, nope, you know, and when I hit 40, I probably will go and get sterilized. If I need to, it yeah. all depends on who I end up with.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I, it's just, you know, it's a decision you make, you know, mm-hmm. and it's great. And I come from a large family, so like, trust me, nobody's lacking in kids in this family. I have 19 nieces and nephews.
Wow.
Yeah. Three of them from my husband's sister and the rest from my siblings.
Well, my male cousin, because sort of our generation with my surname, because the surname's like quite rare. Mm. There's me, my sister, who's already got married, my cousin, who's also got married. So there's only me and my male cousin. I've decided I'm not having kids. So we're like jokingly saying to him, you better have sons to pass the family name on. Otherwise it dies with you. And he's like, oh no.
Oh no, that's no big deal.
No pressure.
My surname is very common among the Irish. And my husband's surname is very common among French Canadians, so there's no worry about that at all. Family line is secure. And that's not even counting like cousins and stuff like that.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Yeah, we're pretty good. His sister's kids though, her husband's name, his family is the only family with that name in all of Canada.
Wow.
There were 17 when they got married in Canada.
Yeah.
So they've added 3 to the pool.
Wow.
So that's just wild.
That's amazing. There's only about, I think there's some Lafars up north, but not many. Like, you know, our name is very rare.
They're far.
Huh?
Lafars are far. Like,
yeah, yeah. They're far. Yeah. I think there's some in New Zealand, maybe.
Oh, neat.
There's the only ones that are directly related to the ones that, you know, my immediate family and my cousins and aunt and uncle.
Yeah. Mm. The family that I have, like, in Ireland that I still talk to and everything, they're not through my surname. They're through my grandmother's name.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, my whole family, we connect more with my grandmother's family because we still have that connection.
Yeah.
And it's really funny because, you know, because we have such a popular last name, but
mm-hmm.
if you ask us anything about our heritage, we're always talking about the Carehers, you know, it's like, there's no Shield. There's no, you know, Tartan. It's a small name and yeah. But you know,
awesome.
That's what you have ties. But this movie was great.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it. Yes. And I had a lot of fun watching it with you.
Thank you.
And getting all those little tidbits. That was definitely helpful.
You had a little commentary track.
Yeah, so I'm guessing you would rate this a 10 out of 10.
I would rate it a 10 out of 10 oat straw tea and ginger pies.
I'm going to have to give it a 9 out of 10 catchy Cat Stevens songs. I really enjoyed it. It's definitely, it's kind of neat because while it has like an older style of pacing, mm-hmm. I didn't really get bored. So that's good. I find that some stuff from the 70s, you can end up getting bored with because, you know, our tastes have changed. But this worked. This worked very well with me, especially because anytime when it started to get slow, something just weird would happen.
Yes. Like Harold would chop off his hand or something.
Yeah. Harold loves Maude. Maude loves Harold. Aww. And it gets all sweet and chuck it away.
Yeah, I love it.
So, That was great. Well, thank you for joining me on this.
Thank you.
I hope the Mixed Nutcases enjoyed listening to this. we had fun. And yeah. So this is the first commentary I've done on this podcast, or ever, for me. But if you liked it, let me know. You can leave feedback, 347-NUTTY42, or you can go to nimlast.org/blog and comment on this. Or you can go to facebook.com/group/NUTTYBITES and let me know. Claire, you want to tell anybody where to go to get in touch with you?
Oh,
find all the Defenders podcast and everything else.
Yeah, podcasts on Facebook are the Defenders podcast, and Intro to X is the X-Files podcast. You can find me on Twitter and Facebook and everywhere as Maya Fire, MAIAFIRE. And that's where that's the name of my Etsy store as well, where I do lots of geeky art. And at the moment, I am drawing Doctor Doom, the Fantastic Four villain.
Nice.
That's the kind of geeky stuff I draw.
Yes, Claire has lots of awesome geeky drawings. All right, thanks a lot. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
Bye.
Scientists, newsmakers, policy changers, advocates, and more. Join me, international award-winning journalist Michael Howie, as I interview those in the know on wildlife issues and advocacy around the world on Defender Radio. Posted every Monday on the iTunes Store and at furbeardefenders.com. Listen to Defender Radio, and you too can stay informed and stay strong. Presented by Gates Wildlife Control and the Association for the Protection of Fur-Bearing Animals.
Nutty Bites is produced by Nimlast Studios. You can find us at nimlast.org/blog. Contact feedback at nuttybites@nimlast.org. Call our voicemail line at 347-NUTTY42 or 347-688-8942. This work is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License. Basically, you can share it, you can send it around to your friends, just don't change it, don't sell it, don't try to make any money off of it, and link back to me, my site, and everything.